Okay. Right. Welcome to this November meeting of the Resources Scrutiny Committee. Sadly, we missed the last one. It got a bit messy, I think, and there was nothing to actually talk about. I would like Judith just to explain why we didn't have the meeting last time, and number one. Number two, why we've got two agendas, so that people know about that. We'll move on from that point, but I think we'll just do the apologies first, and then if you say your bit before we go any further. So we'll start with the minutes of the 2nd of July. Has everybody read them? Are they happy with them?
Approved.
Are they approved?
Approved?
Okay, thank you. And apologies?
Councillor McEwen substituted by Councillor Barron, Councillor Powell, and we've also had apologies from the Head of Regulatory Services.
Okay then. Right, and you don't have to answer this, but the Head of Regulatory Services, is he ill or is he at another meeting?
She sent you an email earlier on to explain why she can't be here.
All right, I apologise, I haven't had a chance to open emails today, I've been doing that field thing. We've got no items on public question time, no councillor items, no called-in items, and no members' items. So, Judith, do you want just to explain those one or two points, and then we'll move into Q2, please.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So, in terms of quarter one performance, we had hoped to bring a quarter one performance report, but it took us a little bit longer to update and review the Cabinet's priorities and set out the delivery plan. So we just didn't have quite enough time then to turn all of it around together. So what we've done is you've got the quarter one and the quarter two updates in the same report. So that then brings us up to date, and moving forward, everything will then run to schedule. So that was the first one. And the second one, an apology in terms of the confusion over the agendas. You should have had the full covering report, but you should then have only had the appendices that were relevant to this scrutiny committee. So you should only have the climate change appendix and the one relating to the council. And I'm going to look at how I might do the key performance indicators one in future advice, but you only get the resources information for that one. So apologies for the confusion over that. We only put that up late last week.
Okay. So do you want to go into Q2 reports on page 3 onwards?
And I'm going to start with another apology as well, because a couple of the things we picked up, you should now have the right version. We've got a couple of references that are still referring back to quarter one rather than quarter two, and I've got some updates because there was some information that wasn't available at the time, but I've now got that. So if I just do the summary bit first, and then I'll take you through the detail of the appendices. So overall, we're not just looking at this committee's remit, but overall, in terms of the projects and actions that were due in that first 6 months up to the end of September, 67% of those have either been completed in full or are on target to be completed, and the balance of those are slightly behind schedule. In terms of the key performance indicators, again, it's a similar sort of position. We've got 52% of the indicators that are either on or above target, and then we've got 41% of those that are slightly below the target or a little bit further off. But so if members are starting to go through the detailed dependencies, then we answer those questions and fill in the gaps. So if you turn to the one, Appendix 1B, no, 1C, sorry, which is the climate change one. There weren't any actions actually due in the first half of the year, so there's nothing to report on that one. And in terms of the council one that starts on 1D, you will see that at the point we prepared the report, there were two actions that were behind schedule, and they related to the transformation strategy and the digital strategy. We've actually now caught up with those, and they will be on Cabinet's agenda next week. So everything there is either completed or we've now moved forward that. And then in terms of the key performance indicators that sit within the committee, if I could just fill in the gaps on those. So we're moving on to appendix 2, and it's the last part of appendix 2. So in terms of the KPIs for local taxation and benefits, so take the first one, which is the time taken to process housing benefit and council tax claim. You've got an incomplete comment there. So what's happened with this one is, historically, the performance in quarter one is normally a bit lower than we would expect because we've still got work related to the annual billing cycle. That's carried on a little bit longer than normal this year, and coupled with some staff turnover, affected the performance in the first 4 months. But actually, the performance is now better than target for August and September, so we're hoping by quarter three that we'll be back on target for that one. The percent of council tax collected, that's shown as an amber triangle, but it literally missed its target by 0.2%. So we're showing at 55.8% at the end of September, compared with 56% last year. So it's just that right at the margins there. And that may be down to changes in the council's local council tax reduction scheme that removes the temporary uplift and the extra work that we've been doing behind the scenes to continue to support residents who needed help. And then the next one on the national domestic rates, there's an error in the quarter two performance information that should have read 59.1%. That was still slightly off target because compared to last year it was actually at 60.4%. And again, we've been following our normal recovery actions on that. So the variances on this one are either likely to be due to the ability of the ratepayers to be able to pay, or sometimes it can be affected by the profiling of the billing. So there could be that we've actually got some of the bigger bills later in the year and payments will fall later in the year, so it skews the profile on that. It's difficult to be precise, but say it's not too far off target. It should right itself by the end of the year. And I think the only other one that's not got a comment against performance is around the FOI request, and I think Ian's probably got the answer to that one.
Which one was that, sorry?
It's the FOI request. We were off target.
On
in quarter one and quarter two on that one.
Okay. Now, thank you for that. Ian, just want to answer the FOI one before we go any further then.
Yes, Jacob. It's a combination of two factors. So we've got a central core team that receives the FOIs and sends them out to the relevant departments. We've had a sickness absence in that over the last two quarters, so that's delayed getting the FOIs to departments and getting the response out. And we've had a couple of the FOIs being of quite a complex nature that you couldn't possibly gather all the information in within the 20 days. So we may see that sickness absence having an effect into the next quarter, but we're hoping to draw some support from another section to help that out, so we should see that improving.
Yeah, I'm sure it's somewhere in this paperwork hidden, but what sort of number of FOI requests are we getting?
So in the last quarter, quarter two, we had 173 for Stafford. This is a shared service, so 173 were for Stafford. In quarter one, there was 200 for Stafford.
Right. And because we're a shared service and obviously it takes resource, you don't have to say what the figures are, but are the figures similar for Cannock?
They're higher for Cannock because they do have the housing and we get a lot of requests in relation to that.
Right. And does that, apologies for asking the question, but does that, does it make it unbalanced so that there's more officer time spent per FOI in Cannock than there is in Stafford?
Not really, because the core team will just receive and send out, so it's the housing department itself that kind of will take the brunt of the work to get the information together.
Right, okay, thank you for that. Does the committee want to go through it page by page, or how do you want to work this report? Because we have skipped backwards and forwards a little bit. Or are you just going to come to me and say, I've got this really important question? I suggest we therefore just go through page by page, and then if there is a question, you can come up with it. So that's quite interesting because we haven't got any numbers.
I've not been put on, sorry.
Right. Could we at the next meeting have numbers on the pages? We'll start. We'll use the numbers at the side. So, head of the page number 5.
Yeah, can I just say that I think this agenda is an absolute mess. You know, the one that they were given, that was sent to us initially, and presumably we read, and then you got the agenda, the amendment to it. And we've got this, and we've got that, and we've got umpteen different ones. We've got the ones that haven't got page numbers on them, and the ones that have got page numbers on them. And if you can tell me what page you're going to start at, then that would be great. And somebody else can come and show me what page you're going to.
So what?
I picked
up the one that you got here tonight,
plus the other bits.
Yeah.
Just tell me what page you're going to. Please.
Can I just...
Quarter
through
performance.
Yeah. You asked a couple of questions there, and I think they are pertinent because I found it a little bit confusing at the start, which is why we ended up with a second draft of the agenda. Judith, do you want to sort of explain why we've got into the state we are, there's no numbers, and that's why we're having to go through page by page.
I could only apologise again, Chair, for that. I say it was done, I was juggling a number of reports at the same time, and I missed checking the version that had come to me, and I haven't realised that we got some information for the committee that you shouldn't have had. So we picked it up at the pre-meeting on Friday morning, and then I had to turn it around very quickly because in the middle of doing something else, so I can only apologise for that. I'll make sure it doesn't happen next time.
Can I, again, this is for outside this meeting, but can I suggest that, because I had the meeting at the pre-meeting on Friday, it's now Monday, and it doesn't give anyone any time to chase the tail if there's a problem. Can we make sure that the chairman's briefing's a little bit earlier for a start? And can we make sure that the agendas are fit for purpose? Because I've got to agree with Angela, it's very complicated and confusing. I know officers, I know members do read the papers, but it's still, I find it a little bit confusing, so I don't know about members. So what we'll do is the first page of the thin copy, we'll go on to the second page, which is number 5 at the top. We're working on the numbers at the side. So the page with number 5 at the start, any questions on that? The page with number 6 at the side.
Chair, I'm working off the online version, has got page numbers on the bottom.
Well, I'm afraid we'll have to forego that.
So,
can I ask a 5.4? So the percentages, do they relate to all of the key projects and actions? They only relate to the ones that were due in those first two quarters. So as you'll see from kind of the end columns, there were 21 actions that were due up to the end of quarter two, but then there were another 50 actions that are due in the remainder of the year. So the percent is calculated on the 21, not the 71.
But some of those are not all business, are they?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's the overarching report that gives the view for the council as a whole. Yeah. If you go to the table at the top of the appendices, then it gives the performance just for our portfolios. It just doesn't restate it in percent terms, it just does it in pure numerical terms. So of the 13 actions that were due for the council, you've got 6 of the that's a KPI. In terms of the actions that were due, 6 with 2.5, okay. Thanks. so there were 8 actions that were due. And 3 of those were completed in full, 3 of them were on target, and then 2 were slightly off target. So if the committee would like me to put those in percents as well, then I can. But what I will look at is whether we can find a way of doing the covering report so that it only relates to the committee.
Yeah.
I say this is produced for cabinet primarily,
right.
And then we split it out for the relevant screens for the committees. So say you've got the report that's heading to cabinet,
yeah.
I'll have a look and see what I can do to kind of more personalise it more for the scrutiny committee.
If I understand well, we don't have to look at the economy and community. It's just climate change and council. Those figures we don't care about.
Well, I think we do care about them, but
not today.
Not relevant to this committee.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay, thank you. Right, so... we're on the page, 6, and then, as you say, you've got the hang of it now, Appendix 1C. Any questions on that? Nope. And over the page, climate change strategy. Any questions on that?
I know this is a snapshot for period 1 and 2, but we're now in 3. Have the staff been recruited or not?
Judith?
I would have to check that with the head of service.
Okay.
I think the recruitment process has started, but I'm not sure that anybody's been appointed.
So on this table here, apologies, climate change strategy, it's got 3 crosses in quarter 3.
So nothing's been done here?
No, but we're on quarter 2, I thought, so why is it showing quarter 3?
We report them in a way that shows where every single action is due, but that one says shaded out to show it's not due in quarter 2. So say we always map out and show all of the actions so that the committee can see at any one time the work that they're planning on doing, but say they're not due.
And what does the X mean then?
It just indicates it's due in quarter 3, that's all. It's probably not helpful on that one because you've only got... If you looked at the one for the council, you'll see it's then got crosses in different columns, so you'll see that you can identify which one's in quarter 2, which one's in quarter 3, which one's in quarter 4. So
I'm going to ask a really difficult question now. We're the scrutiny committee. Why are we not getting the same papers as will go to council? Oh, you said at council it's a different.
The council actions.
Right. Oh, on this.
Yes, appendix. It's priority for the council. Sorry.
Right. Okay.
So can I ask then, Chief, is it the case that on appendix 1C, nothing has happened?
There's nothing to be reported on.
And
not
reported in quarter 3. You could maybe have a wee temporary instead of a cross, or we give a cross quarter 2 to indicate that nothing has happened. I just find you
symbol to symbol across rather than
I think the only thing I could do would be to make it very clear in the progress update column that there was nothing to report at this stage. I'm not saying it's off target or anything, there was just nothing to report. It will be reported in quarter 3.
Right, okay.
That would make...
I'm glad you're here to explain that to us, that across means we'll get in quarter 3.
As I say, it's just a marker of when things are due rather than an indicator as to whether they're on or off target.
So, I've got to say this is a little bit messy, and we, that's fairly obvious. When's the quarter 3 report coming to us? Because it does seem like there's a lot of stuff that hasn't been done and needs to be done, such as actually recruiting staff.
It's the 5th of January.
March. Sorry?
March,
I think.
Also, we just said. Performances for the March meeting, though, on the forward plan.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's probably too much to expect it to be turned around in January, given Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I get that. But my problem is, as chair of resources, because resources obviously get other tools that take these actions forwards, and when there's a cross and no progress update, which I understand that you're going to do next time, so the revised climate change strategy developed and in place, I thought it was in place, but obviously it's not. Recruitment of staff for delivery and monitoring operational delivery is not in place, and the new governance structure to track operational delivery is not in place either. So it's, if you, in terms of climate change, it's a pretty if your report as a child, it would say must try harder.
There is work going on in the background, but it's not due for its completion until quarter three. That's all that's saying. It's not that these things aren't there. There is an existing climate change strategy, but as that indicates, there's a review of that. There's a new one going to be brought forward. That is being worked on at the moment, and you will get an update in the quarter three performance report showing where they're at with that. So that's the only reason there's no comment at the moment, because those actions are not due for completion yet.
Right, okay.
Could we not have a comment about that, so it's clear?
So do you want to speak up a little bit? I can hear.
Yeah. Could we not have a comment and a column saying that? So
I'll do that for the next
one. Well, on the right-hand side, the grey columns, which say progress update and symbol, that's where there should be a report.
Yeah. Any comments that would help us?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And Appendix 1D, has anyone got any comments on that? Okay.
Now, why do we have to plan for the installation? Why don't we just get on with it?
If I can, because it's actually quite a complicated piece of work. I mean, when we do this, it will take services out of action, so we've got to try and work and plan around all of that. And, it is quite a complex process.
Carry on.
Appendix D, where we've got closure of the accounts, we obviously have. Some reports go to audit accounts, but some will come to us. The catch-up on the closure of the previous year accounts, obviously, it is a quarter three action, and therefore we don't have necessarily a progress update on it. Given we're going to have some reporting in January as well, is it possible to establish whether that's on track? I know it's not necessarily your department.
It's actually going to the audit accounts committee last week. So we've now completed the closure of the accounts for 21-22 and 22-23, and we have the auditor's non-opinion, as it were, because they're not giving opinions at the moment, and work is underway at the moment on the closure of the accounts for 23-24, and we're aiming for completion of those by early January, so that then they can go back for the 30 days consultation, and then I think they're formally reported in February, so work is underway on that at the moment.
Okay, could I... ask the committee to go back to page 1 of 4. This is the previous page, and again, summary of slippage as at quarter two, and it says there's been some slippage of transformation digital strategies. This is fairly important in terms of the shared service and the council as we go forwards. How much slippage has there been?
It's now up to date. As I say, we'll be going to cabinet next week, so we're back on track now.
Excellent. Good. Good news. Okay, so on the Appendix 1D, we're now on page 2 of 4. Is there any other questions on that? Yeah, okay. Page 3 of 4. No questions. And page 4 of 4. Now, why is the insurance reinstatement valuations in bold?
It's a subheading, so the two actions that follow it are around doing that piece of work.
Right.
So they're kind of titled. So the one for it has got the corporate assets IT system, and then it's got a couple of specific actions that relate to that, and then the other two points relate to insurance reinstatement valuations.
Right, okay.
Can I ask Chair on that, please? Where it says secure budget, is that going to Cabinet this
Right, so we'll go on to Appendix 2. We haven't done this, have we?
No.
Right. Appendix 2 with no number, but at the top says local taxation and benefits. Has anyone any questions on that page? Wonderful. I think... Yeah, it's
housing benefits and council tax, they seem to do a very good job in that area.
I'm looking at percentage of calls answered, 97.8%. That's in this day and age is pretty fantastic. And 38 seconds waiting time, I presume that is.
You won't get many calls to companies that are taking that.
Yeah. Okay. We've done law and governance on the next page. Corporate assets, they're all new. So we'll move on, please. Members.
We're asked to note the progress made. Recommendations 2-1.
Right.
Count,
thanks for pulling me up.
No,
I appreciate it. would the committee? I've got my audience state there.
Have they been noted to you?
Yeah, just noted.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, it doesn't say that we have to vote on it. Okay, item. Right, so it does say actually in 2-1 to note the progress made during Q2 and deliver the council's priorities and performances. Are we happy that with the amendments we've asked for detail for the next time?
Yeah, we're happy for that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Item 7B, which is a review of the constitution. Ian?
Thank you, Chair. So this is the report that comes to you annually to kick off the constitution review. So what it's asking you to do is to agree to the normal process. We'll set up some dates for a working group to get together, have a look at any proposals that we receive for amendments to the constitution, and with a view to bringing it to the March Resources Scrutiny Committee to make recommendations to council. So if you're happy with that process, we've got some suggested dates in the report that we've put in the calendar. We'll also be sending an email around to members and officers to give us notice of any proposals which they have, and I'll be having a look to see if there's any proposals which I need to make, and that'll come to the first meeting scheduled for January.
Happy with that, members?
Yes.
So
yes.
I would agree that the working party are all members of the committee, too.
Yeah.
When I'm proposing that, I need a seconder.
That
all members of this committee are all members of the working party to review the constitution.
I thought we were.
Yeah, we are.
Well, it's in the report that, as in previous years, you requested to establish a group with all members. So if you're happy with that.
So can we take that as a proposal from... seconded? Oh, you're not seconding. Okay, carry on.
The 21st of January, I think there is a scrutiny committee as well who has been postponed. Is it the resource one? So
the 14th of January meeting has been.
There is scrutiny on that night. And
so it will be from 5:30.
You have, yes, okay. Usually have the review of the constitution first. For
the last
resources.
One, yes.
Just
so, through you, Chair, we don't know how many amendments there'll be, so we have that first meeting. And if it turns out to be a lot or there's complex, we've then got the February meeting, which we can dedicate just to that. But yeah, we thought, as you've already got that first week in the diary, we have a pre-meeting
for...
Chair, it was moved. We had an email telling us that the resources scrutiny meeting was changed from the 14th of January to the 21st of January. We had an email just the other day about that, did we not,
January? Yeah, I agreed with that, so...
Yeah.
Can I, just for clarity for the officers, Angela's made the proposal that all members of this committee are present. Is everyone happy with that? Okay, thank you. Can you make a note of that? And thank you, Ian. I think that's. We'll just see what comes up in from all members. And next item, number 7C. The work programme. Sorry?
Have an item as a work programme.
Do you want to start then?
Yes. So previously when we've met with officers around section 106, it was agreed that resources scrutiny would review outstanding to be allocated section 106 monies, and that will come to a resources scrutiny meeting. I believe originally we'd agreed November, but obviously we're already at November now. So I would like the review of outstanding allocated monies to go into the work plan for us, whether that's January or March. I'll leave that to your discretion, Chair. And we'd agree that going forward, the new process surrounding Section 106 would be the purview of economic development and planning, but that the unallocated resources would be the purview of resources scrutiny. So when we had our briefing and we met with officers, Councillor McEwen and I proposed that. So I'd like that added to the work plan.
Well, that's fine, and then we could discuss it at the as an agenda item and just take it forwards. Can you?
Whatever meeting is, I can see that January is quite busy.
I have forwarded your email about it to the head of economic development and planning, so he's aware of what it is that you're asking.
Perfect, thank you.
Well, it seems no problem with that. No problem with that, Ian?
No, sir. As you say, the January one is going to be primarily focused on the budget consultation, so we can have a discussion once we've got an update from the head of economic development at January about the work programme, with a view to looking at the March dates if you're happy.
Yeah, perhaps if we just put it in this future item section, then it's kind of in our mind.
Yeah, if anyone wants to see the it's on the appendix on the full,
yeah,
on the back page. So on the 21st, we are going to look at fees and charges.
Yes, we resolved to do that in line with the budget process from now on, because it fits in with the budget setting.
So, as resources, do we have an overview of the whole of the fees and charges, or are we going to have a part agenda again? Or
will the financial regs only bring those charges that are above inflation or are new charges to members for agreement? You do get a copy of the whole fees and charges, so if there are any particular ones you want to raise, you can.
Is that, for taking over a little bit on this one, is it a long document of fees and charges? I always remember that it was that long. You suggested it had to be online rather than a paper copy.
It's on the council's website, yes, it's quite a lengthy document.
Right, okay. So just a word to committee members, have a look through them before you come along, because I sometimes feel like we skip through them merrily, and then afterwards we go, well, we didn't know that. But Angela.
Can I ask you, are we going to be dealing with fees and charges only relevant to Stafford Borough Council, or will we in fact be informed or looking at the fees and charges of, for example, Freedom Leisure? Will we be informed of new charges for our contractors, shall I call them?
If I remember correctly, you did used to have a separate fees and charges report for the leisure, because they need to be agreed by us. So,
and that presumably that's what I want clarified. Are we going to have, I can remember at one time, councillor being taken aback whenever we heard about charges, for example, in the house theatre, because we felt we knew nothing about it. And we were told that fees and leisure took to do that. But I'm wondering, is there a report coming to resources about our contractors who provide services on behalf of Stafford Borough Council?
For you, Chair, if it's a Stafford Borough fee, even though it's charged to our contractor, it will be in our fees and charges. I'll double check on the particular point you've raised. But again, the report will mention any charges that are either new or above inflation. The rest don't tend to come through to members.
See, I'm thinking also the likes of fees and charges that Fees and Leisure make, for example, for, let's see, for around the park, or for any of the facilities in the town park. Yeah. Do they come to our resources? Or, because when we're talking about fees and charges, all I'm saying to you is, are we looking only at Stafford Borough Council's fees and charges, or are we also looking at those contractors who are providing services for the Borough Council? Do we use that? Nothing to do with us?
I mean, the only example I can think of is the leisure, where they provide
yeah.
service on our behalf, so those fees are included in our fees and charges.
And they're coming to us? They will come to resources?
We're the new and above inflation,
right.
But I'll double check on that.
If you will then, please, thank you, Chair.
So I'm just going to add to that. What's the expected schedule for Freedom Leisure's charges to be made known?
I don't know. I'll have to check on that.
Can I request that we have all that information coming to all members of the committee in an email or whatever form you want? Because Angela's quite right. It's something that's... Although Freedom Leisure are separate, they are providing services for Stafford Borough Council, so it's important that we know what's going on and the way decisions are made.
We can give you an update. Yeah,
yeah, thank you. Is that okay?
Thank you to you, yes.
Can I just clarify, so if, for example, Freedom Leisure are increasing a fee in line with inflation, are they covered under the same specific clause around fees and charges in terms of reporting? So obviously we are making decisions on above inflation or new. Would the same principle apply to theirs if they're contracting on our behalf? So for example, if they put the charge of a membership to the gym at the leisure centre, for example, would the same criteria apply to their fees and charges schedule?
I'm not sure what the contractual clause is as how they can increase, but I do think that if I remember correctly, we do need the council's agreement to any new fees. So the scheme of delegation would still apply, so anyone in line with inflation or under an existing charge won't need to be reported to members. Officers can agree that on behalf of the council. But any above would still have to follow the normal process.
Perhaps we could have two separate items then on the agenda for January, if that's when they're sending the schedule. If not, then obviously the appropriate meeting, which distinguishes the Freedom Leisure charges versus ours, just so we can then see.
But this has all come to the same meeting.
It's still the same. It's
it
still
might depend on when they've set
this report.
No, it doesn't all
shows all of them.
It should all come to the same meeting.
If Freedom Leisure report on that schedule, but they may not.
Well, all fees and charges through
that
you, they use the financial question we have, don't they?
Yeah. I think that Ian's going to sort that out and come back to us.
Okay.
I don't know whether Ralph wants to make a comment on that?
No, Chair. So,
through you, Chair, it's probably Councillor Pardes, he's more kind of connects with the detail of the scheduling of Freedom rather than.
But we are resources scrutiny.
Yes. Yeah, but perhaps that could be something that you wouldn't mind picking up just to find out.
Okay. Any other items for the.
Can I just go back a little bit to what I've got as page 39, item 4.1, relationships to corporate priorities?
Yeah.
Let me just read it. This report is most closely associated with the following corporate business objective 3. To be well run, financially sustainable, and ambitious organisation. After the Accounts and Audit Committee, it was fairly obvious that we're not a well-run or financially stable organisation. At that point in time, we were two sets of accounts which hadn't been signed off. We were in the process of producing a third. We had an item on the agenda that one department was £600,000 overspent. With no real explanation of how that happened, who was responsible, and whether anybody had been disciplined. The £600,000 amounted to over half of that particular section's annual budget. And yet, I have heard no report of anybody being sanctioned or given warnings for that level of misperformance. And I think we are skipping over the fact that some of the newer senior officers have had to go back to basics and run training courses to tell our middle management team how to budget and how to monitor budget and how to find out whether their people are actually spending the money that's been allocated to them. And that doesn't seem to come anywhere in this work programme.
The first thing I would say, actually, as Chair, is, and I don't know if you perhaps missed the meeting, it has been explained in that way before now, about the training, need for training. I've not heard of any sanctions, whatever, against officers, but that is something that's probably in the remit of officers. It's our job to scrutinise what their decisions and how they make them and not.
It is, Chair, and that's why I brought the subject up. How are we scrutinising, as a Resources Scrutiny Committee, how our money is being spent and by whom and under what sort of controls? And we don't seem to be doing it.
Carry on.
She said he did go up, Chair, didn't it, at the full council meeting, that there was an overspend, and that the staff member who leads that department was spoken to.
I don't think that answers your question, does it? What?
It summarises what's happened.
Yeah. Can I ask?
Say why or how or what we're doing about it.
I was going to ask Judith to come to the table as HR and tell us.
Perhaps we could ask Ralph to come to the table as well.
Ralph, you've had a request.
Cheryl's actually going to speak on behalf of the section 151 officer rather than with my HR hat on. As members will be aware, we have had a number of problems with the finances, but it has impacted on our ability to do the budget monitoring. It's one of the actions within the Value for Money Improvement Plan is to get our budget monitoring back on track. The finance team are working at the moment on the position at the end of September, and we hope to be able to bring that report forward in due course and then try and get back on track with quarterly information to the committee. We know that's been lacking, and as I say, that is something that we do need to address, and as I say, work is going on behind the scenes to to try and get that one back in the committee's reading.
Can I respectfully ask that with your HR hat on, what, if any, actions have been taken for what was quite a serious event in terms of the Stafford Borough Council? I mean, £600,000, and it's perhaps one that a cabinet member can answer as well. It's a lot of taxpayers' pounds that was missed, and wasn't properly reported on, for a start. And I know after the event, when it came out, there's the training and everything's come forward. But as head of HR, perhaps you'd like to make a comment.
All I can really say on that is what was already reported in that report, that the head of service concerned had been spoken to. It wouldn't be appropriate to discuss any sanctions further than that, so we wouldn't routinely report any sort of action the same. And I'm not suggesting that any was, but I say we wouldn't, as a matter of course, do that. That is between, you know, that's a staffing matter.
Yeah.
So, but these things are more complicated than that, and we did have a discussion at the audit committee about it. When you're looking at those sort of situations, there are more factors that sit behind the scenes. But
really, that would be a matter for the Section 151
officer to comment on.
Okay. Do you, as if I'll bring you in next, Rob, as chair of as the legal on this, are we okay talking about this? Or I'm slightly wary of. I feel all the glass under my feet.
The staffing matters should be a matter for the chief exec as the head of paid service to deal with, not this committee.
Right.
What we're talking about is whether we've got the processes and procedures in place, and you've got comfort that we do give the resource and the policies that we're getting those in place. And I think we have got an action plan to address a lot of the value for money report issues that were brought up, and we need to continually monitor that action plan. Are we taking the right actions? Are we delivering on the action plan?
Thank you. Ralph, do you want to...
Thank you, Chair. I think actually the problem was that planning, and I think you probably all know this, was in a bit of a mess in terms of staffing. You can't get the planners these days. And therefore, they have to use a lot of agencies' staff. Now, they cost a fortune. They've got to serve a barrel. And they cost a lot more than ordinary planners would. And so, therefore, in a sense, we would have had to have gone out to those agency staff in order to get all that backlog of planning dealt with. I think the problem was whether permission was requested for that spend. But I think we'd have had to spend it anyway in order to get things down. Otherwise, we'd have had a huge mess in the planning department, and because there just weren't enough planners to deal with it all. And as for planning enforcement, I'm not sure we've got any planning enforcers in-house. We've got to have them from agency, which has created other problems in another field. So there's that. I mean, the other point I'd make is, don't forget, we've had the report from the external auditor, which was excoriating in terms of this council's activities. And that was 21, 22, 22, 23. So that's got to be dealt with as well. There's an awful lot of backlog there, which has got to be sorted out, which we're all working on to get it sorted out. But, you know, it's been going on for some years. Whether we've been that efficient as a council has come to light with that external auditor's report. They've even had statutory recommendations. I mean, they are really serious things. It's not something you mess with.
Thank you for being so candid, and I think we've sort of answered the question.
I think, Chair, that we have aired the subject, that we have some way to go to classify ourselves as well run and financially sustainable. A lot of work is going on in the background which you've now heard about. We are trying to recruit quite a lot of people, but it's got substantially into a difficult position before we started to dig ourselves out. And I do believe that the work is now going on to dig ourselves out. But the fact that it gets reported at council that we've had an overspend of 600,000 is not the end of it. You have to say, why has it happened? What level of control was exercised to try and ensure that it didn't happen in the first place without formal approval being given? Because if it's happened once, we need now to be reassured that it won't happen again.
Yeah. I think Ralph has acknowledged that possibly the permissions weren't in place. It's something that as a scrutiny committee, we need to see what's happening. We need the same with economic and planning scrutiny, and we need the same with audit. And I know that you're on audit, so a nice, safe pair of hands. I think at that point we'll move on if there's no other questions.
Can I just clarify, Jen? Are we suggesting that we want something on the work plan for this or not? Was that what you were sort of suggesting?
I'm suggesting that because we've had such a serious hiccup, and as Ralph has pointed out, we are under Section 24 sanctions from the previous auditors, although we're now working under new auditors, then we really need to be sensitive to understanding what the progress on the improvement is going to be, and that we can monitor it and scrutinise it.
Okay.
And so perhaps we ought to have some items within the work plan. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be here for the January meeting. That we can actually understand what's happening.
Ian?
Yes, just to clarify what's happening. So the recommendations from the external auditors were brought to audit committee and council in January last year, I think it was. And council agreed an action plan. We took account of what the recommendations were. We devised what we're going to do about it. And that was agreed by council. That action plan is being monitored by the audit and accounts committee. So before you put something on the work plan here, do familiarise yourself with what that action plan states. See if you're happy that does address what you are concerned with. Because that's what's been agreed by council, that's what's being monitored by audit council. If you want to do something different, we need to know what difference that current action plan to look at.
Yeah, no, it is a slightly difficult one, in so much as I said earlier in the meeting, we are, in a way, scrutinising the processes that go forwards, and audits actually scrutinising the actual delivery of those processes.
Through you, Chair, if I could just make a comment. The Audit and Accounts Committee is historically based.
They're not here anymore.
Sorry?
Are they not here anymore?
It is historically based, and we are looking backwards all the time.
Yeah.
And we are looking at if things have been achieved in terms of producing accounts and getting them satisfactorily audited. The point I was trying to make was that you have to put in resources far ahead of that to achieve those objectives, of which the Audit and Accounts Committee has no control, but the Resources Scrutiny Committee does have the ability to look whether resources are being put into making this happen.
Well, I think it was proven tonight that the climate change resources isn't up to speed yet. So that those, in a way, we get that overview. But I'm more than happy if required, a report from audit to come to.
I was thinking this the other way around, Chair, in that resources scrutiny could ensure that the resources were available to the organisations that are trying to improve the situation. So Judith has the staff to actually achieve. The Section 151 officer has the resources to spend on the staff to achieve the financial controls that we're seeking to be put in place and reported on their actions afterwards. It's no good the Audit and Accounts Committee coming along afterwards and saying, well, where are the accounts? Why is this still on the audit? 6 months, 9 months after the event.
Yeah.
Whereas resources scrutiny can say, are the people in place? Yeah. How's the recruiting going?
I think Emma was first and then Angela.
Chair, I agree, and I think perhaps there's a report on workforce planning. So I know we agreed a significant uplift in financing for staff, for finance team staffing at the budget last year. It was £169,000 additional funding from memory. So looking at kind of the progress of recruiting those staff into post, where we are kind of perhaps having a bit of a report coming back to January, where we can look to see the progress on those, assuring that it doesn't kind of step on the toes of the Audit Accounts Committee. But I think actually from a workforce planning point of view, it would be useful for us to kind of appraise where we are to allow those audit actions to take place.
Okay, Angela.
Chair, that's what I was actually going to say. I think we should wait to see these reports that are coming to the various committees in January, and then see what actions we and resources need
through you. I'm not sure that is on the January list, though, so I'll just have to see it.
Judith.
Chair, if I can clarify, in actual fact, the resourcing for finance is very specifically included within the Value for Money Improvement Plan, and there are updates provided within there about where we're at with recruitment. And if the committee's interested, it's not so much the resource that's available to the 151 officer or myself, it's actually our problems in recruiting that's causing the challenges at the moment.
Well, thank you for that. So I think, I don't know, I haven't got the agenda for January's meeting. Can we make sure... It's what I'll do on that. Yeah. Okay.
Chair, can I say you've got a pretty heavy meeting in January. There's a general fund revenue budget and capital programme and the fees and charges review.
Well, we're not here to make it to be pretty, and we're here to...
You're happy to be here for several hours.
Well, we are here to scrutinise, and it's been made clear tonight from several members that it's fairly important that we get the Stafford Borough Council firing on all its cylinders again, because I think at the moment we're not quite there. So
perhaps then, Chair, if you look at the January meeting, we do have the work programme coming up on the agenda, and if need be, then we may need to have another meeting in February to pick up on any of these outstanding issues.
Yeah.
Because all these, as the cabinet member says, these are all...
Have we got the ability to have a single agenda meeting?
Well, yeah.
I was asking Ian.
You have. We just need to be mindful what the scope of that work is. Because the council's already agreed the action plan, which is forward-looking.
Yeah.
Yes, the audit accounts will look at whether you achieved what you said you're going to achieve in the action plan, but the council has already agreed the steps that need to be done. Unless you're considering other steps, I'm not sure what you're looking at.
Ladies?
I was just going to say, through budget monitoring, surely we'd be able to see if we've made progress on spending the additional resource in the finance team, for example. So I think if we're able to monitor our variance to budget on a quarterly basis, that would solve some of our questions, then perhaps we'd have the detail behind those variances. So if we are significantly spent on finance staffing, for example, that would tell us that we haven't recruited finance staff from the action plan. That's how I would certainly look at it from a kind of financial point of view. If we see those variances in a budget monitoring report, then we would be able to interrogate behind those variances what the activities that sit behind them, and that would open up that conversation for us to talk about, are we struggling with recruiting? Is there a process we can put in place? Is there something that we can do in order to support that recruitment process? As Judith says, we're struggling to get the staff in, so that would open up a conversation for us to support officers in that recruitment process.
Roy?
The action plan that was agreed by council, that's in place. And how is it progressing?
As I say, we're reporting on it quarterly through the Audit and Accounts Committee. And we did an update on where we're at in terms of recruitment. So at the point we reported at the end of September, we were saying we'd just gone out to advert for the two key posts in the team. Not all of them, but the two most senior posts in the team. And we did a further update to advise that actually we've been unsuccessful. And we're now having to stop and look at whether we might apply market supplements to make the salaries for those posts more attractive.
I seem to recall when the 151 officer was here, he said he wanted, was it 109,000? And I asked him specifically whether that was enough, and he said yes. Right. Now, from that meeting, why has it taken this length of time before we put adverts out to get the necessary staff? You know, if an action, you know, if he said that's the amount of money, the money was agreed in the budget, that was the action plan. Why didn't they go out and at that point the following day with an advert asking for these people? Because we're now nearly a year on, and you're more or less telling me or telling us no one's been recruited for this action plan.
A full restructure of the team was proposed. Job descriptions have had to be written and evaluated, and they've had to be fitted around other things that the Section 151 officer and the Deputy 151 officer have been doing. And that is from the pressure of not having sufficient resource in the team. It is a little bit of a vicious circle in terms of that. But say, we're trying to move that forward, but it's a really tough market, even with going out and say, we are struggling to get the calibre of staff. So it's not about the money, it's not about the structure. We are constrained by our pay scales as well. We don't have the unfettered right to join the So we now have to go through that next part of the process to look at how we might make those salaries slightly more attractive and to go back out again.
It's going out again. We've already been through the process, and the candidates weren't up to it, basically.
No.
So we didn't appoint. Because there's nothing worse than appointing. We're now having to go through the whole lot again.
And we're not at the point yet to go out with those two. We're going out to advert either this week or next week with a different two posts to see whether we have any success at that level.
Okay. Can I ask the officers to make sure that on the January Resources Scrutiny Committee, we have an item specifically around VFM and around resource in terms of officers, so that we know what's going on, because I feel that we're sort of getting pulled in all different directions. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think we're now actually trying to do what we said we'd do once we get these reports to us. This is what we're now trying to do, rather than wait for the reports we've been told to get.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be trying to do that. Let's wait for the reports. Excuse me.
Well, if it gets to January and things haven't improved, as Roy said, it's been a year. We're told that we can't. The accounts are with some adjustments in how the accounts are being done. I'm not happy about it. I think an agenda item where we can just we don't have to be here for 3 hours, but we can just ask the questions that this committee seems to be quite concerned about. Okay.
Is that some sort of duplication though of what's going to the audit and
I feel in this case it's something that's fairly important that we do have some sort of an oversight. I've got Emma first and then Mike.
As I say, I've been formally offered in the past, but just to formally record that I'm happy to support with our recruitment in finance, because I worked in the sector for a long time, so I am happy to support kind of if officers would like some support or advice around kind of accessing people, kind of if we're resource constrained in terms of being able to balance those things, I am happy to support officers with recruitment, kind of reach out to my networks, contacts that I've worked with in local government, in public sector before, kind of trying to recruit people to us. Because I do think that sometimes it's not necessarily the process you follow, but the right person seeing the job advert in the right place at the right time. So I am happy to support
I think Emma, that's something for outside of the room.
Yes,
it's not.
But I just want to say, like, I am happy to. I've often informed you in the past, but
yeah.
I'm happy to support with that.
Yeah. Okay, and.
Sure. Oh, I've only got just a comment. We've got 7 weeks roughly till the 21st of January, and Christmas is in the middle of that. I don't know how long the recruitment process normally takes,
3 months.
But I would be surprised if that's long enough.
Yeah.
To advertise, interview, and recruit anyone by the 21st
yeah.
of January.
I think
it's how far the progress has been made to recruit by that point.
Exactly. Exactly the point. I think we need to know where we are at the moment, what the plans are, what plan B is, because it does sound like we're moving into plan B. And if there was a figure given for recruitment and we can't recruit the staff, that figure might need to be changed,
which is what I asked in the question.
Yeah, so we'll put that on the agenda for the next
one.
Yeah,
so could I come in?
Oh, sorry, you did just ask. Yeah,
it isn't a duplication of what goes on at the Audit and Accounts Committee, but I was keen to point out that the remit for Audit and Accounts is to look at the accounts that are produced, which is a record sometime after the event. What I'm saying is that what's been highlighted, and I hope you took note of what Judith was saying, in that it is a very tight marketplace, as you know. But Judith made the comment is that it's out with our salary scales. And so we need to, as a resource committee, scrutinise whether we are being flexible enough in this tight market to recruit the people that we need, and have actually come up with what we believe we're going to have to pay to get the right people. And
resource
scrutiny is exactly what this committee is supposed to be looking at. Accounts can't look at it because they're just telling you what's happened afterwards and saying, do we agree with it? But we've heard a plea from the finance department that they are not competitive in the marketplace, and the way that it currently works is you have to prove that you're not competitive in the marketplace, because nobody's come forward with the salaries that we put on the jobs. And I think we have to look at giving our officers the authority to do it the other way round, as saying, in this marketplace, to do what we want to do, what are we going to have to pay?
Mm. I think again, we're starting to blur the edges between audit and...
Oh, it has nothing to do with audit.
No.
It's resource scrutiny.
Yeah. Right. Okay, I've got three people who want to speak, and then I'm going to close this down.
I think, Mr. Chairman, you're opening a can of worms if you start doing this, because if you start advertising over and above what the normal rate is, and officers on similar grades are now being paid less than the new recruits, I don't think they'll be very happy. It's not. I don't think it's this committee's remit to set salaries.
No.
It's not.
I would have thought salaries are negotiated between the officers, the trade unions, and
yeah. I think you're
not this committee.
You're quite correct. It is, and I've said earlier in the meeting, we're here to scrutinise, not to be officers.
Yeah,
but
to say that I understand that. So the plan that the audit committee has in action is going to be reported on.
Yeah, I think
at that point we will have the information.
I think we've already established we're going to have a separate item on the next meeting, so we'll leave it at that. Emma, do you want the final word?
No, I didn't have a hand up.
Right, okay. Thank you all very much for what has been a very interesting meeting.
So the item, sorry to push it again, the extra item you want in January, do you want it as a separate item or do you want us to be primed for a discussion in the work programme? Because I'm not sure what, if you're after a feedback from officers or anything in the next meeting, I'm not sure what the scope
is. I don't know what the committee thinks, but I think we should have a specific item where we get some feedback on this because it's. Yeah.
On
the progress with VFM and with recruiting staff to the new structure.
Yeah. Sorry, if we could constrain that to just an update on recruitment with finance, then that is probably manageable. I am concerned given the amount of work that the Section 151 officer has got to do over the next few weeks in terms of the budget process, that we would struggle to do much more than that, but that we could probably provide a short update on.
Okay, right, we'll do that. Thank you so much for your time. Please drive carefully because it's still horrible out there.